The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. I'm Ava Lewis for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine, How She Got Her Dream Job. Getting started, Angela's tenure at Nationwide began when she was in high school, and she spent most of her career in property and casualty before landing her dream job, now as a vice president and chief diversity and inclusion officer. Angela ensures that the company continues to lead and evolve. Our culture of diversity and inclusion attracts, develops, and retains talent, improves business results, and enhances our brand, she says. But even as a young employee, she saw and felt something special in Nationwide. We have a unique culture of caring that begins at the top and permeates throughout the organization, she adds. It is this something special that continues to make me a proud Nationwider even after 34 years. Success strategies. According to Angela, having sponsors, mentors, and people who advocate for her is a must. Throughout my career, I have had and continue to have all three, she says. I would not be as successful today without these relationships. And now she feels it is her obligation to bring other women with her along the journey, to walk beside them in unity and support, she says. Sometimes in front of them, using my voice and leading the way, and other times behind them, having their back and catching them if they fall. Advice for dream seekers. When you are looking for your dream job, Angela says, you have to be all in, not half, not three quarters, but all in. She also says, don't be afraid to take on different assignments or roles along the way. It will allow you to build your capabilities. Keenly know your strengths and how others may perceive you, and be willing to do something about any perception that doesn't align with how you want to be seen, even if you don't agree. And finally, she says, always believe in yourself and know that you are enough. Don't give anyone the power to take this from you. The next article is titled Evolution as Revolution. You cannot fight change. Fall brings change in the annual shedding and discarding of what is old, so we can begin the work of growing into what is new. The season is one of transition and evolution. And when I think of evolution, our cover star, the gorgeous and talented Lala Anthony, immediately comes to mind. She has morphed from the girl in our ears, co-hosting an immensely popular radio show while still in high school, to a presence on our screens, featured on Total Request Live, and acting in Think Like a Man, Power, and The Chi. We sat down with Anthony, who was also a best-selling author, producer, and entrepreneur, to discuss her journey and her Afro-Latina heritage. Our global Black fashion issue celebrates the hottest creatives, looks, and trends from across the diaspora. The second annual Best in Black Fashion Awards showcases the pinnacle of talent in the field, from icons to emerging designers. We are truly excited about this year's class and the future of Black fashion, something Essence supported long before it was in vogue. One of my favorite aspects of Blackness is our all-encompassing spirit of innovation. Even in the time of COVID-19, Black people create and transform. Take, for example, designer Anifa of Hanifa. She revolutionized the fashion industry with a 3D virtual presentation of her Pink Label Congo collection. And we saw Black imagination personified by the hashtag Essence Challenge, in which Black creatives across the globe generated their own cover images and told the world they own their narratives. Being Black is tied to innovation. From our ancestors constructing the pyramids of Giza to using braid styles as maps to help people escape slavery to building wealthy and successful communities of our own when we were excluded from others to developing life-saving technologies. Innovation is necessary to evolve, and our evolution has always been revolutionary. With love, Mona Liu, the Chief Content and Creative Officer at Essence. The next article is titled Beauty and Modeling. Black women are fashion and beauty tastemakers and game changers, yet our unique physical features are rarely celebrated as a mainstream ideal. But 2020 ushered in an era of change across all industries, and this revolution will not be standardized. Black women are dismissing the antiquated notion that they have to change anything about their appearance in order to be successful. Our lips, our coils, our curves, our melanin will be appreciated across all genres, mediums, and professions and spaces, and these three queens are making sure of it. Kenny Powell, the unbothered model citizen. I never thought I was going to be a model, Kenny Powell, 29, says. I never thought I would be on this side of the face of beauty. The Atlanta-based model and influencer with an uncanny resemblance to Lizzo was on the prime track when she decided to pursue her interest in beauty instead of following in the footsteps of her family. After joining a competition for Ashley Stewart in 2018, she learned how to make social media advantageous. Even though she didn't win the competition, the brand constantly posted her images on its social media pages, helping build her following. Now she gets paid to work with major brands, and she's defining beauty on her own terms. I express my beauty how I want, she says. If I feel like wearing black lipstick, a black hat, black shoes, I'm going to wear that. I don't care if it's sunny outside. I really just express my beauty by living limitlessly. Having a cosmetology license makes it easier for Powell to execute her vision without pushback. She does her own hair and makeup for her photo shoots, and she loves that she gets to play up her favorite features, which is just about every inch of her. I've been through the phase where I used to nitpick. I don't nitpick anymore, Powell says. I take all societal standards off. I wear this body, this whole thing. I enjoy my waist and my hips. I love everything. Amarachi Yukashu, the stylish mental health expert. Amarachi Yukashu started blogging in secret. If you asked her more than 67,000 Instagram followers, they likely would not describe her as shy. But the 30-year-old Bowie, Maryland, native and New Orleans resident, was not open to sharing her fashion experiments. I thought, no one wants to see someone like me modeling clothes, she says. So I kept it in private. That is, until her sister encouraged her to publicize her fashion blog. She soon realized that she was exactly who people wanted to see in front of the camera. It helped to boost my confidence, she admits, and it actually helped other women see that they can wear what they want and that they are beautiful no matter what size they are. It is that love for Black women that has helped fuel her next professional journey. Ever since I was young, I wanted to be a counselor, she explains. Being Nigerian even just being a Black woman, it is not normal for us to go to counseling, but I know that it changes lives. Yuka Shu wants to break down the stigma in the Black community around seeking mental health services. With a newly earned master's degree in health science, she is excited to become a healing curator to assist people in finding resources and counseling professionals. She's a self-proclaimed makeup novice who's serious about her skincare. She is also serious about her own journey to self-acceptance, which came from counseling, as well as from affirmations from her family about how naturally beautiful she is. Still, she appreciates the role that products can play in boosting one's sense of well-being. When you're putting on makeup, that's quality time that you have with yourself that you don't normally get, she says. It is not just about looking better, you feel better. Yola, the unapologetic songstress. You can see Yola's hair all the way from the cheap seats. And at the start of her solo career, every seat was a cheap seat, typically in a small club in a random town. Now she's selling out auditoriums in major cities. And the bigger her afro, the better you can really, truly see her. Though, she's not concerned with whoever doesn't like the view. Getting to that place was a journey for the Grammy-nominated singer. While she was growing up in Bristol, England, her textured hair and dark skin tone were neither celebrated nor catered to. I'd have to run to the most dangerous gauntlet to go to that one store to buy the cheapest product, and it looked like you just put on cocoa powder on your skin mixed with water, she says. In 2008, I saw MAC in the UK for the first time. The fact that it had all those shades was fascinating. Today, she approaches her beauty in the same fearless way she approaches her music. She refuses to be forced into anyone's box. I've manifested an entitlement that allows me to walk into spaces and go, "This is mine," she says. We need to go into spaces and not say, "Sorry, I'm here, but I'm here and I'm bringing more people." You have to celebrate your beauty, especially if you're a Black woman who's dark. You've got to take up that space because people are used to seeing you and seeing your color in your curl pattern. Yola, 37, plans to take up that space in Hollywood in 2021 when she stars as gospel legend Sister Rosetta Tharpe in Baz Luhrmann's Elvis Presley's biopic. And with the recent launch of Blackout Tuesday, she feels empowered to advocate for people in entertainment who look like her, talented women with dark skin and Black features who will no longer accept being relegated to the background roles. The title of the next article is Here's How Anifa Reset the Fashion Industry. Historically, New York Fashion Week has not featured Black designers in great numbers. For the fall and winter 2020 season, only 3 Black women were included in the official lineup, despite the continuing dialogue about diversity within the industry. Yet the national conversation around race, sparked by the deaths of Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, and Breonna Taylor, seems to have prompted new support for Black businesses and made them more popular than ever. And many industries, fashion among them, are reexamining how they treat the Black community. As more eyes turn toward the talents of Black creatives, Anifa, founder of the Hanifa label, appreciates the change. I think for the first time in my career, I feel seen, says the Congolese designer about the past few months. When COVID-19 struck, Anifa quickly adapted her business. Initially, in response to stay-at-home orders in March, she started testing 3D models to showcase her latest pieces. Eventually, she expanded her 3D innovation into a full-fledged digital fashion show, which premiered on Instagram Live and garnered rave reviews from publications including Teen Vogue and Harper's Bazaar. The show went viral, drawing wide acclaim on social media and ultimately anointing Anifa as quote-unquote a real designer. Even though Black women have known her work and supported her brand since its 2012 launch, Anifa got her big break in 2017 when Sierra posted a snapback photo of herself in red Anifa pants. As her business scales new heights, the 29-year-old designer has managed to stay grounded in her faith while continuing to live out loud. In every single obstacle and setback I've gone through, I've always known to revert to prayer, she says. The next article is titled, Cuppy Has the World's Ear. Cuppy, also known as Florence, is one of the continent's top musical taste makers. Apple Music executives recognized her star power when they chose the Nigerian-born DJ to host the streaming service's first African radio show, Africa Now Radio with Cuppy. Running strong since its May launch, the new program is a mandatory stop to discover the hottest and freshest sounds from the motherland, from South Africa and Ghana, Nigeria and Angola. Cuppy's breakthrough show is just another reminder, in case you have been living under a rock, that hit-making African music is seeping further into the mainstream. Listeners turning on the U.S. radio these days will hear Nigeria's Davido, Burna Boy, and Tiwa Savage, along with John Legend, Usher, and Her. It's phenomenal how Afrobeats is taking over the world, 27-year-old Cuppy says from her quarantine perch in London. Music lovers from all over can attest to the fact that the African sound is unique and everyone is beginning to appreciate it. There's been a revolution. Our artists are taking things to the next level, and the spotlight is on us now. It's so beautiful to watch, and even better to be a part of it. And Cuppy, with her millions of fans, luxurious lifestyle, and bubbly, high-energy personality, is not only part of it, but also the perfect ambassador. Over the past decade, she has built her brand from scratch, expanding her own name and path beyond wealth and fame of her father, Nigerian mogul Femi. She is proud of her work as a DJ, who is breaking through the barriers that come with being Black, African, and a woman. She aims to be one of the continent's most recognizable DJs and a businesswoman as well. From stages to boardrooms, Cuppy says Africa is always with her. I'm so proud to be African, and the core of my brand is to promote the continent's culture, she explains. My new show allows me to continue being an advocate for what we Africans represent and to shed light on our numerous creative talents. For me, as a young Nigerian woman, being given the opportunity to host a global show that helps me do exactly that is a dream come true. Honestly, it's mind-blowing. The next article is from The Spotlight, titled Speak on It. Author and activist Rachel Cargley moderates this cross-generational conversation between literary giant Nikki Giovanni and Grammy-nominated artist Rhapsody on impacting past, present, and future activism. When the tragic murders of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and George Floyd activated international support for the Black Lives Matter movement, we called upon the wisdom of Nikki Giovanni and the millennial perspective of Grammy-nominated artist Rhapsody. With the guidance of author and activist Rachel, their hour-long conversation, dubbed a therapy session by Rachel, touched on their thoughts about the protest in America, what freedom looks like today, and the power of Black women's voices, including their own. Rachel said, by beginning the conversation, "I'm so inspired by your work, as writers, as a poet, as a rapper." Nikki, in the 1971 interview between you and James Baldwin, you expressed the same sentiment as me, which pleases me so much because I say my work is to keep white people uncomfortable. My work in this world is to maintain this pressure, to ensure that they are the ones who are uncomfortable, instead of us in our Black bodies walking around. But it is the music of Rhapsody that gives us a solve. It's the listening to your work, Nikki. I loved when I found out that your poems were on Spotify. With all of us being creatives, I would love to hear from both of you with your art, with your words. What role do you feel that we creatives play in a movement like this? Whether it is from Nikki, your generation, or rap, we consider the children we may have and what roles they will be playing on their rung of Jacob's ladder. What do you feel about our work as writers, as people who are putting thoughts to paper and then having it consumed by the world? What is our role? Giovanni replies, "You have to remember that writers normally don't know that they have done good work. I think that James Baldwin, even Jimmy, would not know the impact. He wrote what he saw was the truth, and he hoped that it worked, but he didn't think, oh, I need to be read 200 years from now. It was probably more like, I don't have to be Plato. I don't have to be like Socrates. I don't have to be anything. I just have to write the truth as I see it." I think the same way. I would hope that there is a poem of mine that some child will read 200 years from now and say, "Oh, look at what she wrote 200 years ago." But you can't think like that. You just have to write it for now. You have to create in the now, and you have to allow yourself to be yourself. This is a profession, as you know. All of us know this is a profession that you have no control over. So if you try to please your current audience, it's going to make you crazy. What you're going to do is write and remember that you are your first audience. You're the first person who reads you. You're the first person who hears you. You want to please yourself. You want to say, "Well, I've done my best." I think that's all any of us can do. Rhapsody replied to the same question by saying, "Nikki hit it right on the head, but just to piggyback, I was going to say, that's it, to speak your truth, to reflect the time, whatever that time is, maybe whatever you are dealing with personally, whatever you look out into the world and see that affects you, it inspires you to pick up the pen and write. You just have to be open to whatever flows. let it flow out, and hope that it speaks to somebody. When I think about my art, I'll make an album and I'll be like, I don't know if it's good, but it's honest. And everybody will be like, are you crazy? You don't even see how much it is going to impact people. And it's like, I never do. It's just like, this is where I am. These are the stories that I wanted to tell. This is how I was feeling. This is what I wanted to talk about. This is what I wanted to record for people. And I think that's the best that you can do. And when you have so many artists who see the world in so many different ways and have so many different creative ways of telling that story, you get a beautiful, full picture. There's a different multitude of colors, and everybody has a piece of the story to tell. So it's like, what is your piece? How do you want to say it? How is the world from your perspective? What are you going through in life that somebody else, maybe on the other side of the world, can relate to? They may not even speak the language, but can feel you. I think that is what it is all about. Just being yourself and letting that light come out. Rachel ended the conversation by saying, I love that. What we write is our truth, and it is all we can write, and it spills out of us. And then it's like, okay, am I going to share this, or is this something I'm going to keep to myself? But then it comes out, and we are like, this has to be heard. This has to be, like you said, Rap, a shared experience. I often say that sharing our stories is like a collective therapy session for Black women in particular, because it's powerful for anyone to say, I'm not the only person who has experienced this. I deeply value both of you giving us this therapy of being seen, of being heard, of being understood by women who offer their art, their creativity to relate, and the love letters and the hope and all the ways in which you just exist and say your truth, and it just pours into so many in so many ways. Nikki, I have to tell you, I signed my first book deal, and I have so much written about you in my book, so much written about the ways that your work has given me a place to rest in and feel safe in doing this work, because I know you have done it, and you have done it well, and you have given me so many tools to continue. What we do, this is activist work. I am not the first. I will not be the last. It's just my turn. I appreciate you for stepping into your turn and giving me this space, Rap. You've both given us so many spaces to have our turns and showing up and doing meaningful work. I am Avery Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.